This is our children's moment. If we have anybody kindergarten through fifth grade that want to come forward, we're going to do like a little illustration, and then we're going to head back to junior church in the back hall back here, where you can pick your kid up right after church if you want to. No, I mean, you have to pick up your kid. It's just your kid doesn't have to come forward right now and go to junior church if they don't want to. All right. This morning I brought with me. Oh yeah, yeah. Brought with me a kickboard. I tried. I have some. Yeah, man, we grew up calling them boogie boards, body boards for riding waves. But I brought a kickboard because this would fit in my bag. And really, this is just a. Just something to hold and illustrate and talk about. Not this specific. The thing I wanted to bring, I kept trying to grab it and put it in a bag or box or something, and it just disappeared. Like, every time I grabbed it, it was just gone. I really wanted to get a wave from the ocean. Have you ever been? You been to the beach? No, you haven't been to the beach yet. All right, if you ever go to the beach, even like a lake or anything like that, there's going to be waves. If I took you to the beach and I said, okay, we're going to go to the beach, the third wave we see, I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to sell you a wave. Would you buy it? No, you're not going to buy it. You're not going to go for that. Why? Because it's temporary. Not only is it temporary, I mean, it is completely temporary, right? Like, you grab it, you try, you can't do anything with it, right? It comes, it's gone. And there's something else to replace it in a second, and it's a totally different wave, and you'd be out of all your money, right? Depending on how much you were willing to pay for the wave in the first place. It's temporary. We are like waves. And we put and invest so much in our lives, and our lives are so temporary. We put so much emotional investment, we put so much into this life, and it's temporary. And we think we're investing in something, right? But in the long run, we're not. The wave just disappears. And there's so many things that we think that we can hold on to. There's so many things that we think matter, and it turns out in the end it doesn't. Because there's just another wave that's just going to come in. And that's depressing. So let's turn around to something a little bit more joyous. There's something that does last. And as much as we invest in things and sacrifice for things here, it being just like a wave, there is something that does last. And that is our freedom in Christ. And our freedom in Christ was paid for, and it was paid for through the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus. And it's that sacrifice that pays for something that even though our life is like a wave, it becomes eternal. It becomes something more than just a temporary thing. Is that freedom in Christ lasts forever. That freedom in Christ paid for through sacrifice was something that God saw worth investing in. So much so that he did it himself, that he paid that penalty himself. Our freedom in Christ isn't just another wave to ride. It's not something temporary. It's not something that we have to worry about investing in, because it's already been invested in, and it's something that will last forever. I know that's a bit of a stretch. It's out there, but we're going to go head back to junior church. If you have kids that you want to bring back with us, we're going to head through these doors and hit some classrooms back here. We'll drop them off. Yeah, you're excited about that. That's good.
Good morning. Did you say good morning this morning? Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah, thank you. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, if you will, please. 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, just a moment here. This morning, before we get into our lesson, if you've ever wondered what, if you've never seen a miracle, look no further than the man sitting there in the back row, Mike Hamilton. Because when I saw Mike in the hospital on a breathing machine, dealing with E. coli and sepsis, you know, there the doctors were not thinking there's much hope for Mike. But boy, we surrounded that brother with prayer. We surrounded him with prayer that day. We surrounded him with prayer from the prayer chain. And God answered our prayers, bestowed his favor upon Mike Hamilton. He and his wife Joanne are with us this morning. We're praising God for that. Praising God for that. Last week, I was on, we call it a vacation, but it's really just staying home and dealing with Brenda's illness. It was staying home and going to the doctors about four times last week, you know, different doctors and things like that. But I appreciate so much our youth pastor, Ben Knoll, who was up here just a little while ago, trying to catch a wave. You know, I appreciate so much him preaching to my place last week. And what I was thinking, because I knew last week was going to be our graduation Sunday, and he was going to be dealing with that and talking about that. And so I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be preaching on, because I let him choose which day in May he wants to do this, and that's the day he chose. And I thought, well, good, because May 31st, you know, the last Sunday in May, you know, it's going to be the Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's going to be great. So I started working on a Memorial Day sermon. I mean, if it's the last Sunday in May, isn't the following Monday supposed to be, you know, Memorial Day? That is, unless the last Sunday in May is May 31st, okay? So I got the days mixed up, and so I text Ben and said, Ben, were you planning to preach a Memorial Day sermon on last week? Were you planning to preach on the Memorial Day sermon? And he says, I didn't know it was Memorial Day. And I think, there you go! Because it's always after the last Sunday of the month in May. So I started that lesson, and I'm going to preach it today, okay? Even though Memorial Day was last week. So I want you to kind of, I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the young preacher Timothy. He said, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Now, in these verses, Paul reveals his admiration for soldiers. So much so that he urges the young preacher Timothy and all Christians to be like them in their dedication, their discipline, and their obedience. He said that we are to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Now again, last Monday our nation celebrated Memorial Day. And, you know, really, Memorial Day has different meanings for people. I guess for many in our town, it's the running of the Indy 500. You know, we have so many people go, thousands of people show up at the track. Some look forward to Memorial Day because it's a three-day weekend, or they look forward to the time they can grill out, you know, maybe for the first time of the season and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with any of that as long as we don't forget what that day, Memorial Day, is really about. Now, originally, that holiday was called Decoration Day and was established on May 30th, 1868 by General John A. Logan of the Union Army to remember the 620,000 soldiers of both the Union and Confederate armies who died during the Civil War. It began to be gradually called Memorial Day after World War I to honor all American war dead, although it wasn't legally recognized by that name until 1967 and then signed into law in 1971 by President Lyndon B. Johnson. So Memorial Day is that day, as Don was talking about earlier. Memorial Day is that day that we honor all American men and women who have died in military service. Whereas Veterans Day, that's, you know, here every November 11th, is to honor all those who serve and have served in the military. Can anything be more ironic than our nation's military? I want you to think about this for a moment. They love America, but they spent long years in foreign lands far from her shores. They revere freedom, and yet they sacrifice their own freedom so that others may be free. They defend their own right to live as individuals and yet surrender their individuality when they join the armed forces. Perhaps the most paradoxical of all is that they value life, and yet they bravely put their lives on the line and give their lives in service of their country. We are to be ever grateful for the sacrifices that have been made by many over the years to secure the freedoms that we enjoy right here in America, in our great country. On November 19th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln stood on the battlefield of Gettysburg, where over 50,000 Americans died, to dedicate a portion of that land as a national cemetery. He was not the keynote speaker, but it's his speech that we remember the most. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address contained only 271 words. But in those brief remarks, the 16th President of the United States reminded the nation of what freedom actually costs. We are one nation today because of the great battle fought in Gettysburg. But there are other great battlegrounds that we should not forget either. Valley Forge, Pearl Harbor, Flanders Field, Omaha Beach, Iwo Jima, Porkchop Hill, the Mekong Delta, the Gulf Wars fought in Iraq and Afghanistan and now in Iran. What scenes of courage and carnage? And it is for freedom that these brave men and women fight and die, and like no other, to understand what the high cost of freedom really is. I want us to begin here. If you're taking notes this morning, if you picked up an outline taking notes, the first one I want us to look at is the reality of freedom. The reality of freedom. I personally do not know what it's like to put your life on the line for the freedom of our nation. I never served in the military. I was never drafted to serve. In fact, I don't know if you've realized this or not, since the draft is, we no longer have the draft, although they have been discussing whether or not to bring it up again. But even though we don't have the draft, it is still law that when a male U.S. citizen turns 18, he is required to register for the Selective Service, which means potentially he can be called up to serve in the military for this country. Now, I remember the first year that I was eligible to be drafted, sitting in the living room with my parents and my younger brother, watching TV, waiting anxiously for the draft lottery numbers to be drawn. And the date of that lottery was August 5th, 1971. The number drawn that year for men born on my birthday, what they would do for those born on my birthday, October 18th, 1952, those names would come up and they would be assigned a number as to whether or not they will be serving in the military. And so, or to serve in Vietnam at that time. But the number that came up for my birthday, October 18, 1952, to serve in Vietnam, was 134. That year, they took men up to number 95. And quite frankly, I was relieved. I saw what Vietnam did to my older brother, Alvin. He went to Vietnam, a faithful Christian, came back an agnostic. He said, I don't know if there really is a God anymore. I don't know. I don't know if there really is a God. From what I've seen, I don't know if there is a God. Now, thank God he finally rededicated his life to Christ just a few years before he passed away in April of 2014 from the physical effects of Agent Orange, a herbicide used to destroy the trees and the foliage of the jungles in Vietnam. And many soldiers came back with terrible diseases. He had heart disease, had his first heart attack and heart surgery in his early 30s, and finally died of a heart attack in 2014. But he went to Vietnam, a caring, loving man, and came back cold and hard. He never spoke of his experience in Vietnam. Never spoke of it. And although my brother didn't die physically while fighting in that war, he died emotionally and spiritually. And they don't give Purple Hearts for that. And in fact, the thousands of soldiers who returned from Vietnam didn't come home to a hero's welcome at all. There was no ticker tape parade for the Vietnam veterans. The Vietnam vets quietly slipped back into society with many emotional wounds going unrecognized and untreated. And I pray that we Americans will never allow that to happen again to those who serve in the military. Amen? That we will never allow that to happen again. I don't know how you feel about the wars that America has waged in the Middle East, whether in the past or now currently in Iran, whether you think we should or should not be there. The reality is, we are there. That's the reality. We are there. And thus far, 15 military personnel have died and 380 have been wounded in Operation Epic Fury, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. And they put their lives on the line every day for this country. And yet, we still hear the rhetoric that goes on against those who serve in the military and serving over there, they're just following orders is what they're doing. My brother and men and women like him who gave and are giving so much of themselves in service to this country, I mean, they deserve our full honor and respect, whether or not we like the politics behind military action taken. That doesn't matter at all. We have men and women who are there. Some are dying. Now, I understand that as Christians, we have mixed feelings, I guess, about honoring those who serve in the military, because in doing so, you know, we feel like, well, that means that we're glorifying war, that we're glorifying war where so many people die. But war is a terrible reality. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 6, that there will always be wars. There's always going to be a war fought somewhere in America, in the world, as long as this world still exists. However, war is nothing to be glorified. It is not. After the Civil War, the fierce and uncompromising General William T. Sherman became so disgusted at the rhetoric of glory being used to describe the war campaigns that he fired off a verbal barrage in opposition. In a graduation speech at the Michigan Military Academy in 1879, Sherman said, "War is at best barbarism. Its glory is all moonshine. It's only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and groans of the wounded who cry aloud for blood, more vengeance, more desolation. War is hell." Now, the reality of freedom is this. Wars have to be fought, and consequently lives lost in order to secure our freedoms. Because freedom comes no other way. Not in a world controlled by Satan. Not in a fallen world, it comes no other way. In fact, President Ronald Reagan once said, he said, "The price of freedom may be high, but never so costly as the loss of freedom." And what's happening in America today is we're seeing more and more of our freedoms taken away or in jeopardy. So I want us to take a look, number two, if you're taking notes, at the cost of freedom. What it costs for us to enjoy the freedoms that are afforded us. There is nothing more precious than freedom. Am I right? There's nothing more precious. We must realize, however, that if freedom is to be carried on from generation to generation, if our children and our grandchildren are to enjoy freedom, then we have to be willing to pay the price. And it makes us, you know, appreciate our freedoms more when we truly realize what it cost. Because many have sacrificed their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. Many have sacrificed their lives. In fact, I wanted to find out, since World War I, how many Americans have died. In World War I, 116,000 Americans died. In World War II, 500,000 Americans died, 500,000. In the Korean War, which is also called the Forgotten War, 37,000 Americans died. In the Vietnam War, the war that my brother fought, maybe even some of you, 58,000 Americans died. In the Persian Gulf War, 280 Americans died. In the war in Iraq, 4,690 Americans died. In the war in Afghanistan, 2,409 Americans died. In the war, some call it a skirmish, in Iran, 15 Americans have died. So over the last 100 years, or really 109 years, over 700,000 American men and women have given their lives during that time to secure our freedom. And it takes special people to be willing to sacrifice their lives for others. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And the sacrificial love that Jesus described is a love known well by veterans. They know that love. Renowned author, the late William Manchester, won the Pulitzer Prize for his biography of JFK. He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps during World War II. And he suffered a light wound on Okinawa and was evacuated to a field hospital. But while there, he learned that his unit was scheduled to make an amphibious assault behind Japanese lines. And so here he was, wounded in a field hospital, but yet he went AWOL from the hospital to rejoin his unit and was terribly wounded in the ensuing battle. Manchester later wrote that he couldn't explain why he left the honorable safety of the field hospital to place himself again in battle, except that it was love. It was love. He couldn't bear the thought of his buddies in mortal combat without him being there to help. And that is indeed great love. But yet Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 8, he says, "You are my friends." That's what Jesus wants us to understand. There's no greater love than somebody who's willing to give his life for his friends. And Jesus says, "You are my friends." When Jesus told his disciples that he had come to set them free in John 8, 32 and following, little did they realize that their freedom would cost Jesus his life. That's not what they expected. That Jesus is going to set us free, and they're thinking that he's going to set us free from Roman tyranny. We're going to be finally free of the Roman Empire. But little did they know that Jesus is talking about his very life. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 20, verse 28, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to give his life a ransom for many." We were held hostage by Satan. Prisoners of war, if you will. Our sin is what put Jesus there. And yes, yet Jesus, the only one who is truly innocent, went to the cross to set you and me free, to set the world free. That's what Jesus did, the cost to set us free. It was the shed blood of Jesus that paid that ransom price for our freedom. While I was attending Bible college, studying to get into the ministry, to be a preacher, I was attending a college in Lubbock, Texas, and I had a classmate named Lloyd Rose. And he shared a story about an incident that happened to him while in Vietnam. And I can't remember all the details, but this is what I recall. Lloyd was a helicopter machine gunner. And while on a mission flying over the jungles of Vietnam looking for snipers and other enemies, the helicopter experienced some type of mechanical problems. And the pilot carefully landed the copter in a clearing and he radioed for help, but it was going to be long in coming. And fearing that the enemy would locate them before help came, Lloyd said that he and his buddy started making their way through the jungle back to camp. Nightfall came, and they still hadn't reached camp. Lloyd said that they could hear shots being fired, and they could see mortar shells brighten up the dark sky as it was being fired at them and other American troops in the area. And he and his best friend, army buddy, best friend, and other soldiers began to dig trenches to protect them from the spread of shrapnel that was from all the mortar shells that was just coming from all around them. And so they just to protect themselves from that. But turning to check out a noise that he heard from behind, Lloyd said that his friend shoved him forcefully to the ground. And he was so startled that he didn't even know what was happening. And Lloyd said he remembered picking himself up off the ground and just cussing his friend out. He then looked toward his friend to only see the upper part of his body blown to pieces. And there Lloyd stood with his friend's blood covering his body. And while telling the story, Lloyd just choked back the tears and softly said with a break in his voice, "I just cursed my best friend who died saving my life." Well, we owe a lot of gratitude to the military servicemen and women who have given their lives for our freedom. But the greatest debt that we owe is to Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to set us free from sin and eternal death. In fact, Jesus said in John 8, verse 36, he said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We stand before God covered with the blood of the greatest friend we can ever have. And he shoved us aside and went to the cross in our place, so that we can live free from sin. So let me ask you today, what does freedom mean to you? I have said about my brother Alvin, I have even posted it this on Memorial Day this past week, that even though my brother came back from Vietnam, even though he was not killed in Vietnam, he still died from the effects of that war. The Agent Orange that they used, that herbicide to kill the foliage in the jungles, affected many of those soldiers who had to walk in that jungle and just basically just covered with this stuff, breathing in this stuff, maybe even swallowing this stuff, I don't know. As a result of that, again, my brother had his first heart attack in his early 30s and had multiple stents, multiple surgeries, until he finally died from a heart attack. And I've said in that post I had this week, I said, even though my brother's name is not etched on that Vietnam War in Washington, D.C., he is still a casualty, along with thousands of others, casualty of the Vietnam War. Still a casualty. Again, my brother was drafted. Did he want to be there? He didn't want to be there. But while he was there, and when he was there, he was a combat engineer. The combat engineers are the first people who get shot at, because they're the ones who go in and build the bridges and clear the mines and all those things. I don't know what all my brother saw while he was in the Vietnam. I have no idea. I just know when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. He wasn't the same guy. He got better. He got better. But he wasn't the same guy. Freedom. What does it mean to us to be free? We live in a country that is free because people have died to make it so. Starting with the Revolutionary War. They died to make it so. They gave their lives so that we can enjoy these freedoms. Yet we are seeing many of those freedoms that are in jeopardy right now. Especially many of our religious freedoms. I mean, man, start reading about what politicians are trying to do. We know that during COVID, people were outside worshiping outside, and Christians outside worshiping. Make sure they're 6 foot apart. Although there's no science behind that, but make sure. Hey, 5.5. And all those things, and yet many were arrested because they were worshiping out right here in Indiana. We have seen, where we have seen people who are pro-lifers who were not causing any kind of violence or anything when they protest abortion clinics, but yet they were still arrested and put in prison because they protested abortion clinics. So we are seeing more and more our freedoms being taken away. And that's why we need to constantly pray that God will continue to bless America. Because we want to be able to have the freedom to share our faith with others, to let people know who Jesus is, to let them know what he paid, the price he paid, so we can have eternal life. Yet more and more this has been taken away. What we must understand and believe wholeheartedly is that God controls. Amen? That God, that Jesus, that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we answer to. That's who we answer to. That's why we need to pray for our freedom. Pray for this country. Pray that we will always have the freedom to share Jesus. And if that freedom is taken away, let's pray that we still will continue to share the gospel with others, no matter what happens. Today we're going to be singing this invitation song. During this invitation song is an opportunity for each of us, again, to just reflect, to think about what God has done for us, think about what the cost of freedom has been for so many over the years. But remember that God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us. And there's no greater love than that, is there? No greater love. And as we sing this invitation song, if this morning, if there is something that you're dealing with, something you want us to pray about, there's a struggle that you're going through, If there's a sin you need to confess, believe me, we are a church family that is not going to be judgmental, because we realize that we are all sinners. We are redeemed sinners, but we are all sinners. Amen? If you want to talk to me and ask about what can I do to be saved, whatever the need might be this morning, we want you to come together. we stand and we sing.